This is Thoughts Become Things. With each episode, we'll help you reach the highest creative potential that God has for you. With your host, a teacher, life coach, a dream coach, and motivational speaker, Jeremy Lopez.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another podcast of Thoughts Become Things. I am Jeremy Lopez, and I'm glad you guys decided to join with me again today during this amazing week. Here we are a little bit. Actually, the weather is pretty outside today. We're still in our winter season here in Alabama of 2021. But you know what? All is well. There's no complaints here. And you know, I've always talked about, like I said, Thoughts Become Things is based on the law of attraction biblically. You know, understanding how thoughts become things, understanding how what's in our heart manifest in our reality, and understanding really how to have the mind of Christ in our lives. And today I want to take a little sight, you know, just a little turn here, still talking about attraction, still talking about the power of positive thinking, but I want to take a little turn on a victim mentality. And so today is basically going to be called this: I am no longer a victim. And here's what that means. I just wrote my brand new book recently that just came out. In fact, we have sold, oh my gosh, guys, we've sold thousands. Like, it's been crazy. And it's called I Refuse to Be a Victim, Unveiling a Victim Mentality. I would definitely say, first and foremost, go to my website, identitynetwork.net, and there should be a banner at the home top of the page. If not, just put in, you know, the word victim, and it'll pull up automatically. But I want to talk about that today because the focus for this month has been on that, because sometimes I find people saying, okay, I want to attract in my life things that I feel like God wants for me. I want to think positive. I want to focus on things that are of praise, you know, good reports and not negative reports. And I want to be able to really help create my world. I'm a co-creator in Christ. You know, I want to do that. However, and here's what I hear from people all the time. However, I feel like there's a blockage. I feel like there's something of an obstacle that is just stopping me, Jeremy, and I can't seem to get past it. Well, let me explain this to you. First and foremost, really everybody on planet Earth has baggage, and that's one thing that sometimes we don't want to admit. You know, sometimes we want to sort of confess it away and hide our head in the sand, bury our head in the sand, as they say, you know, to not really face reality that maybe, just maybe, somewhere in my life I've been hurt, wounded, rejected, you know, talked down to, belittled. I mean, whatever word you want to put into the category that maybe fits your life, you know, for that piece of the puzzle, then I want you to think about that for a moment. I want you to do that, because what I want you to do today is I want you to begin to understand the reason why most people are not successful in their life, the reason why most people find themselves not being able to manifest things in their life, the reason why most people can't seem to get ahead of the game is simply because of the fact there are paradigms that stop us. And these paradigms, unfortunately, we form. And we form it because of the fact that someone in our lives did something maybe intentionally to hurt me, or maybe really didn't mean to do it, or maybe because I sort of perceive that ideology of maybe that conspiracy theory mentality. You know, that's one of the probably the worst things I find people that are get involved in, that rabbit hole of that conspiracy theories mentality, because what happens is everybody's out to get me, government's unfair, they're out to get me, you know, we get the fact of big pharma, you know, the pharmaceutical industry, we get all of that. But the key thing is, you know what, as a man thinketh in his heart. Listen to me closely. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. But the original language says this: so is his world, which lines up with what Paul said in the New Testament. And that is talking about metron, which is our sphere of influence, which means everyone has that. You are influential. You've got this invisible force field, for lack of better words, boundary around you that God is saying, you're the one that's going to influence it. You're the one. And whoever gets in that circle of your friends, your family members, your job, your church members, your neighbors, whoever's in that big circle of your life, you know, here's the deal. They will be influenced by you. And they will be influenced by your victim mentality. They will be influenced by your joy. They'll be influenced by your fear. They will be influenced by you, period. Whatever makes you up, whatever makeup you put on, spiritually speaking, they will feel that. And that's the thing people don't realize. You really can't hide anything nowadays. And you've never really been able to. The way that human beings are programmed is so things that are in our heart will come out. The Bible makes it plain. You know, what's in a man comes out of a man. You know, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Well, even though there's rivers of living water flowing out of me, what all these scriptures are talking about is they're also working on the negative side, which means if you flip it, you realize that out of my belly are also flowing rivers of hurt and woundedness and rejection. And what that means is whatever is found in the corridors of the fibers of my being, in my spirit man, I'll say the spirit man as opposed to the heart of the soul, then that will come out of me. You know, wounded people hurt wounded people. Wounded people hurt people, period. And so, no matter how much you're trying, quote-unquote, trying to be good, trying to attract, trying to think like Christ, trying to do this, sometimes you got to face the victim mentality. Sometimes you got to face the very thing of your woundedness. And a lot of times people don't understand that. They get frustrated. Why can't I be successful like you? Why can't I do this like her? Why can't I be this like, you know, so-and-so? Well, because of the fact, first of all, you're already telling me that you are comparing yourself to people. First rule of thumb, anytime, and here's what I want to give to you guys as a life coach. Anytime in your heart you find yourself saying the statement, I wish I could be like her, or why did he prosper when he's done wrong and I haven't? Why did she get that job when I've been more experienced? I've been on this job longer than her. You know, why did he get ministry knowing that he's hiding sins in his life and I can't get ministry? See, no matter what the case may be, those phrases are automatically red flags. And they should be a red flag to you as well. Not just for me as a life coach and a prophet, but for you. Because you've got to begin to look at that and realize what that is saying to you is that speaking out of your woundedness, because there's already automatically something in you not wanting to define and not wanting to identify with your identity. Are you with me? You've got to learn to identify with your identity. If you don't identify with your identity, here's what's going to happen, is you will always be stuck because you'll never see the blessings coming to you and the ones that are coming to you, and you'll never receive any more blessings coming to you that are going to be promoting you, expanding you, you know, bringing you to a higher place of God's favor and blessing, because you won't identify with your identity. Why? Because you don't know your identity. So what can you identify with? And so you find your identity in other people. You find your identity in everyone else who has more or less than you. And that's why I always say this to people. When people say, you know, well, the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil, and yet they automatically assume that's going to be of rich people. Statistically, there are more poor people that worship money more than rich people do. So it doesn't mean you have to have it to worship it. A lot of times people don't realize it's what's in the heart, not what's in your hand. And so when you look at your hand to say, well, whatever is in my hand, that's what I got to be careful about not worshiping. That's not true. Because what's in your heart, of what is there a lack of, if in my heart is wanting and desiring more money because I don't have any money, then my heart is lusting after something I don't have. What is the difference between that and, let's say, for example, lusting after my neighbor's wife, my neighbor's husband, whatever? You know, what is the difference? Because does it mean, like when Jesus said this, Jesus said, you've sinned already pretty much. You know, when you have lust in your heart, doesn't mean you have to automatically, you know, formulate to adultery. It means what's happening here is you're already adapting to lusting over something you don't have, and therefore it becomes a sin to you. That's what Jesus said. And so guess what? Statistically, more poor people worship money more than rich people do. At least rich people know how to multiply money, and when they get it, they're like, great, let's put it over here. Poor people fathom on it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I've heard people who don't have money make jokes about it. You know, I'm going to win the lottery. Oh man, if I could do this. You know, look at her dress. Gosh, if I had that kind of money, I would buy that for myself. So guess what? Poor people, or people who don't have a whole lot, worship money more than rich people do. All right? So you can't automatically assume that because, let's say, for example, if something in my life is, I'm trying to get this, you know, and yet you can't find yourself doing it because you haven't identified with your identity, then what happens is maybe you're finding yourself worshiping what other people have more of what you don't have, which is part of your victimization mentality, because of the fact that you are looking at something inside of you that you really don't want to see. Well, let's put it this way. You're not looking at something inside of you you're not wanting to see, because somehow somebody embedded in you, you're not good enough. Someone embedded in you, you're fat, you're skinny, you're ugly, you know, you'll never make it, you're never amount to anything, you're bald, you're losing your hair, you know, nobody wants a person balding, you know, I'm glad that's not true for me. You know, and you look at these type of things, and people say the silliest, dumbest things. Whether they really mean it from their heart, or whether they didn't mean it as a joke. Let me tell you something. Let me explain this to you. I know people who are overweight. And some of them are some of my dearest, best friends in the whole wide world. Love them dearly. They know the good, bad, and ugly about me, and vice versa. However, if you was to, you know, if you can make jokes with them, laugh at them, but sometimes you look at someone who maybe is very, maybe overweight a lot, and you say a fat joke. Or you say, man, that really makes you look fat, you know, when you put it on. And even though you could be joking because, hey, you know what, you can share things between each other because you know you love regardless, right? But that person can still, 90% of the time, will still be offended to say, hey, if you don't mind, just don't joke about that. And even though they know your heart, the key thing is somewhere in their life, they're oversensitive because someone in their heart or in their life, someone told them that. Someone hurt them, and that's why it's causing them to gain weight more. So a lot of times you have to look at life and realize that sometimes people don't mean things, and sometimes people intentionally do stuff to hurt you, but either way, you're stuck with that. What are you going to do with it? And so I always teach in my book, in my books actually, the process of what it is I'm writing on. Okay, so within my book, I refuse to be a victim. Here's one thing that I do. I teach you how to process. I teach you how to process to get over the situation. Most charismatic people do something that I'm going to say is wrong, even though it's biblically, but I will explain myself of how to bring out the biblical truth in it, all right? So a lot of times in charismaticism, people begin to look at the situations and say, well, the Bible says just to cast things out, cast down vain imagination. It's and pretty much, and this is going to sound a little, I think, sort of a ghetto term, if that's the right word to you, if I can say that, or maybe I don't know what kind of term you want to say. You know, that is, well, ma'am, thank you, ma'am. You know, that's a sort of a derogatory type of, you know, principle statement, but that's what people want. Most people want a wham bam thank you ma'am. When what I mean by that is most people want to be able to read a scripture and say, just cast it out, no big deal, let's get rid of it, it's gone. But you never stop to realize that the Bible makes it very plain on one issue. And I hope that didn't offend anybody, because I'm just, once again, just sort of being a little real and raw with you guys. Because you know what? We're all real. I'm not religious. One thing I tell people is I am not religious. If you get offended by certain things, here's what I would say. Let's try to work through that. All right? Let's not be offended by stuff. Let's hear what the truth is that's being presented. And so when you look at that reality, you have to realize that, you know, the Bible says that the carnal mind of man is the enemy of God. So we know that God doesn't like your carnal mind. Why? Because your carnal mind is where the obstacles are, the hurts, the wounds, the rejections, the thoughts, the memories. I remember what you did to me. I remember what you said to me. I remember this. I remember this. I remember how my dad treated me and my mom treated me. And all those memories is what's against God. Because they're anti-God. Those memories are anti-God because they're not displaying a healthy wholeness, and they think upon things that are good and lovely and honest and pure and good reports, and so they're anti that. That's why God has a problem with our mind. And so with that being said, no matter how much you think positive, no matter how much you sort of do this and do this and do this, thinking I'm gonna do what's right to attract things in my world, you've got to begin to face the reality that I've got to deal with this. I can't just in Jesus' name come out. Oh, I'm healed. I'm done. I'm great. Wonderful. Yay. No. There's still points of life coaching. There's still points of counseling. There's still points of maybe psychological or psychiatric care. And it's okay. It's no problem. Because someone needs to work with you to begin to get over the thing in your brain that you maybe don't want to admit. But here's the key thing. That thing is blocking your success. It's blocking your blessings. It's blocking your romance. It's blocking your relationships. It's blocking your weight issues. It's blocking whatever in your life. If it is, it's blocking it. And so sometimes you have to look at this and say, you know what, it's okay. You know, Jesus said, we're two more gathered in my name. The Bible talks about one should put 1,000 flight, two should put 10,000 flight. The scripture talks about Jesus sent them out two by twos. You know, you think about all these numbers of twos and threes and fews and minis, and you realize that what if we're made for each other? What if we're made for each other? Iron sharpens iron. What if we're made to talk to someone that can walk us through the process of letting us know, hey, you know what, let me help you walk through this, because I can see things about you you can't see about yourself, and vice versa. And so with that being said, this book is going to help each one of you to begin to really face the reality of what was said or done to you, and then we can sort of talk you off the ledge to begin to really help you to understand and sort of make your own definition of what maybe how we can recategorize that for you. to where that way it's no longer putting you as a victim. It's no longer putting you as the wounded person. It's no longer putting you as woe is me. It's no longer making you feel like everybody's out to get me, everybody's out to hurt me. You know, conspiracy theory people have major issues. So sorry to say that, but they do. Because when you come to the place where if your heart thinks that everyone's out to get you, then you will attract people who are out to get you. All right, so you will probably never find anyone who believes solely and strictly in the power of attraction that is actually into conspiracy theories. You just won't do it. And you know why? Because they're smart enough to understand that if I believe everyone's out to get me and I'm thinking that with inside of me, then you know what? I will attract people that will be out to get me. No matter if it is government or big pharma or my neighbor or my wife or my husband or my kids or somehow I will create my own enemies to come after me. That's right, I said it. You will create your own enemies because you got to realize the power of thought controls everything. The power of thought, and when you know, the Bible says in Genesis, God says, "Let there be light." You know, He spoke the world into existence. Everything was spoken because you have to think what you're speaking. All right? You have to speak what you're thinking. And so because of that, you've got to remember everything starts with a thought. And thoughts are energy. Everything in the universe is energy, right? So everything is energetic. Energia is the Latin word for energy, which actually alludes towards spiritual gifts, by the way, another podcast. And so when you see that, you realize that I've got to deal with the energy that is floating in my mind that I'm producing, because that energy is going to begin to find that same vibration. It's going to attract more of the same energy. And once again, folks, you know, I always say this, no offense, but please grow up. We don't need some, you know, people say, "Oh, that sounds new age." Understand science, okay? Energy is not a religion. It doesn't speak of anything. It's not Christian, nor is it Buddhist or atheist, okay? Energy is what God created everything to be. It's energy slowed down to matter. Let's get mature here to begin to really understand how God created everything, all right? So from that, then that same energy of thought will attract and connect to another same energy of thought on the same vibrational wave, frequency. That's how it works. So through that, if you don't deal with it, no matter how much you confess it and name it, claim it, and speak it out there, and being a co-creator, it doesn't matter what you say, because what's happening here is your mind, you're saying one thing, but you're thinking another. You're thinking something else. And we want to work you through that so that we can be healthy in your attraction. Be healthy in your attractiveness. Amen. So that's what I want you guys to do today. So I want everyone to begin to go to the website, identitynetwork.net, and I want you to begin to, you can download the book within seconds, minutes, or you can order the book. My staff, my team will ship it out to you today. But it's called I Refuse to Be a Victim. Subtitle, Unveiling a Victim Mentality. So just put in, I refuse to be a victim. I refuse to be a victim. Think about that phrase. I refuse to be a victim. So no matter how much you confess it, no matter how much you speak it, okay? Here's the key thing. Your confession will not do anything at all until you deal and dry up the root of the problem. All right? That's what's more important. So I want everyone to download the book, order the book today, and let's get you free. Let's dive into your mind and unscramble it and begin to get rid of things that need to shift. And most people ask me, they say, why can't I just not think about it anymore? Because things, that's why I said earlier about the wham bam, you know, is because of the fact that you can't just sort of not think about it anymore. It's still in your brain. You have a conscious mind and a subconscious mind. That's how God created us, okay? Don't have time to get into how your body is ran pretty much by your thoughts and how the subconscious and consciousness works. However, I will say this, is your subconscious holds everything from the day you're born to the day you die. It holds everything you've ever seen or heard or your experiences, everything. Your conscious mind doesn't necessarily do that. It more moves into the now moment, okay? And it'll pull from the subconscious whenever it needs to. That's an easier way to sort of put it to you. And so what we're saying is this, is if everything's in the subconscious, if it's never been defined to be maybe to where it's, and maybe it's been maybe filed into the file bank, or the file cabinet of your mind, you know, based on I've defined it as they hurt me, then guess what? We don't want that, because it's always going to be there. And even though your everyday life might not pull it up, there will be times when things will happen and will trigger you, and all of a sudden that file cabinet is wide open and that file is pulled out. And you might think to yourself, why is this happening to me all the time? Because you never allowed someone to walk you through it and to be therapeutic with you to redefine it to where we can shift that and call it something else by discovering it, bringing light to the darkness of that thing that happened to you to where we can finally begin to say, now we can file it away in the cabinet, and it, in the file cabinet now will be locked because now it won't trigger anything. The trigger, remember this, trigger is the key to your file cabinet. Everyone would remember that. A trigger is the key to your file cabinet in your subconscious. That's what it does. That's what it is. Okay? So I want you to begin to get the book today. Let me walk you through this. If you want to do a life coaching session with me, we have 30 minutes or an hour. I would gladly love to do that with you. I deal with people all day long on the days I do life coaching, and we're booked from start to finish. Because so many people say, Jeremy, it's been so successful for me. I've been changed. I'm never and people literally are changed and they never return back to the situation. So I would encourage all of you, if you want to do a life coaching session with me, call our office, go online, make your appointment. I would love to be able to set it up for you because I get booked very quick. Okay? But definitely get the book today. And thank you as always, because we want to get you guys on the right track to attract the things you need to do. Get you on the right track to attract. All right? Have a blessed day. We'll talk to you soon. And don't forget, as always, go today and create the day that God intended for you to create and live in. God bless.
This has been the Thoughts Become Things podcast with Jeremy Lopez, helping you reach your highest creative potential that God has for you. For more episodes, products, and information on Jeremy, visit www.identitynetwork.net.